Good morning, and a very Merry Christmas to every one of us right now. I'm so glad that you're able to make it. Today, I'd like to share with you something that is, I think, really exciting me right now. I always get excited when God has a word for us, but I feel that today, God's word is something that is very personal, and I believe He will speak to every single one of us. As you turn with me to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Are you ready? I'm almost ready. Okay, here we go. Matthew chapter 2, and we'll read it from verse 1. I'd like you to pay a special attention to the wise men, okay? Or the magi. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, magi, from where we get the word magic, magi, these are people who are actually astrologers, magicians, they are wise men, they are counselors. Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And when Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared, and he sent them to Jerusalem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. Amazing star, isn't it? When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. You know, it's very interesting. I'm just going to stop here for a while. The Magi were people who, you know, it's a little bit of a mystery. We don't really know where they really came from, but we know they're east of Jerusalem. Most people feel that looking at the word Magi, they probably come from Persia or as far as Parthia. Now, that would be around 700 miles away from Jerusalem. So they had come a long way. These Magi were people, they're not Christian in any way or form. Yeah, they're not Christian in any way or form. But they were seekers of God. And the amazing thing was that even though they were far away from where the action was, God was able to speak to them. The amazing thing is that even though we don't call them Christian or even Jewish, there is an obscure theory that perhaps they were part of the dispersion from the time of the Babylonian captivity. But it's a sort of a tenuous theory. But the main idea we're supposed to get is this. These people who are actually people who are involved in the occult. Okay, they're not exactly Christian to our own definition. And yet, God spoke to them. God was reaching out to them. And they were reaching out to God. And so this is the first thing I want to say, and that is that whether you're a Christian or not, God is reaching out to you. The amazing thing about Christmas is the fact that not only Jesus came for us, but he was continuing to come to us even before Christmas. That even though you are not necessarily even a person who's close to God or religious and all that. I can tell you something. God is calling you. God is drawing you. He loves you. And if you will seek him with all your heart, the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29 and Jeremiah 33, he will be found of you. And these magi, these people, they're actually sorcerers, right? They're not actually what we call nice Christians. They are people who just don't care. They just want to know God. They know whether God is there or not. And they looked, they're astrologers, they looked into the sky. I know as Christians, we don't really believe in astrology. But these guys were seeking for something. They're seeking for purpose. They're seeking for God. And the first thing that's really interesting is this, that God was seeking them out. Isn't that amazing? Yes, God was seeking them out. I have to say this. If Christianity and Christmas is really important to God, I have to believe that before you're even introduced to Christianity, before you're even introduced to the Bible, he has to have been looking for you, whatever religion you're in. What say you? You have to know this, that God's love for you is not dependent on whether you are in a particular religion or not. He loves you, doesn't matter whether you even have a religion. He wants to reveal himself to you. And I want to put it to you today that the only explanation for your life and my life is the fact, for all the things that have been going on, right? The only explanation for all the things that have been going on is that God is calling you. We basically have three alternatives to our life. Either creation is created by a demon who's out to get you and to make you miserable. And some of you actually feel that. That actually life is created by a demon. And that there is nothing else of meaning in your life except the fact that somebody wants to really get you real bad. And he wants to make you miserable. Some people actually believe that. But if that's the case, then euthanasia is a really good thing. If that's the case, you should die. That's the only way you can deceive, you can fight him and beat him, and that is die. Go ahead and die. True? There's another way, another alternate belief that you can have, and that is that nobody cares. The universe is empty. There's nobody there. If you look out at the stars, you just see an empty casing of material, energy, stuff, chance, and time plus material. That's all. That's the other alternative, and that is that there is no meaning. Everything is random. Everything that happened in your life is a concatenation of just random things, and actually nobody cares. And I wonder whether the Magi looked out into the heavens and saw nothing but an empty bunch of rocks in the sky. Is that how you look at life? Is life like that to you? Many philosophers and many people actually think that that's exactly what life is. It's a joke played by nobody on everybody. And there's actually nothing. There's actually random. Nothing makes sense at all. And then there's, of course, the third thing, and that is that you are created by a loving Father. He's the everlasting Father, as we read today. And that he really cares for you. And not only that, it means this. If Christianity has anything more than just being a local religion, all right, a local deity for certain kinds of people, if it means anything, then it means it, you have to believe that God has been looking for you. And if you look at your life, God, there were situations that took place in your life in which you almost died, perhaps. Miracles took place. You had dreams. You had inklings. And that God, even before you came today, has been calling you. And the only way that your life actually makes sense, and that it's not just a random thing, a collection of events that will end up in your death, which 100 years later, nobody will remember. Or you are loved by an everlasting Father. What say you? Three alternatives. Either somebody's wanting to make you miserable, or nobody really cares, or there is really a Father. I'm going to look at three sets of people in this gospel story. the wise men or the magi, the shepherds, and Herod. They had all a response to this God who was revealing himself to them. All right? So there's these three possibilities. Either there's a demonic spirit that's out to get you, nobody cares, or there is an everlasting Father and he's drawing you to himself. I believe that is really true. Can you imagine what it was like for the wise men, the magi? They're doing their astrology and they're looking out into the heavens and they see these fixed stars, right? They see these things. And there's a way in which you can interpret what you see in the cosmos, right? Is it just empty? Is it just lifeless? There's nobody there. Nobody's speaking. Nobody cares. It's just cold. And so they're looking at these stars. And as they keep looking at the stars, and they're wondering whether in the midst of all these rocks out there, there's somebody. Is there somebody? And they look, and suddenly, they see something. They see that one of the stars moved. Isn't that amazing? That somewhere out there, in this fixed, impervious, impersonal, not caring universe, there is something that moved on behalf of them. And we have to understand that this moving of that star, okay, was moving in respect to them. In respect to them. It was not just moving on itself and just twirling, doing twirls and sort of pirouettes and all that. But it was moving in respect to them. We look out at the cosmos and we see beauty. But if there is no God, then all this beauty that's smiling at us is not smiling at us to welcome us. It doesn't care. It doesn't care about you. Have you had the experience of seeing someone, maybe somebody very attractive, somebody beautiful, and they seem to be looking at you and smiling at you, and then you go and smile back at them, and then you realize they weren't smiling at you. They are actually quite indifferent. They were smiling at someone else. Beauty smiles as if to welcome you, but actually it wasn't. And so these magi, they saw something that was moving. It's almost as if as they move, it moved. Let's all say this together. It moved. It moved. It moved with respect to them. What an amazing thing. It moved with respect to them. Whew. That somebody out there is moving. Somebody out there is moved. What say you? I want to put it to you that our third alternative is the only reasonable alternative that can save you from committing suicide. And that is this, that in this whole universe, there is one Father who's calling you. And whether you're a Christian or not, he has already been speaking to you. For some of you, you've had dreams. For some of you, you've got this inkling that life is more than just living your 86 years and then after that, going. It moved. That star, the Greek for that is Esther. But it's also a word that's used to represent messenger or angel. Often stars were identified with angels. And as they look at that star, there was something in the universe that was moving for them. And the star was beckoning them. And through the star, God was beckoning them to come to Jerusalem. Actually, not to Jerusalem, but to Bethlehem. Do you think in this whole scientific framework of the universe, there is one somehow through all the stars, the mountains, the clouds, the valleys, the cells, the DNA, this one who through all this cares for and has been trying to get through to you, I believe today you can experience him. He's called the Everlasting Father. He's the one who's been calling you. He's been calling you since you were young. He didn't need you to become a Christian before he called you. But he wants you to experience him more than just a few little moving things out there. He's the one who speaks. I remember when I was a kid, I couldn't figure out in the abstract whether God existed, you know? I won't say I was a Christian. I was sort of seeking God, but I wasn't even sure about whether he existed. But there was one thing that would always happen for me. Every time I had a problem, every time I was in a crisis, I would pray to God and say, God, please, 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 please get me out of this mess. I don't know whether you exist or not, but when it came to just being delving into my own particular problems and I prayed to him, I would find that he would speak to me. And so, I mean, I was a kid. The only way in which I could hear from someone on the other side of the universe, right, was to say, God, speak to me through this Bible. And every time I had a problem, I would open my Bible. And you know, the strange thing is, my eyes would alight upon a place in which the part of the Bible would speak to me. I didn't know in the abstract how to prove that God was existing. But when I had problems, when I had things of life, when I was involved in my, there was once a time I was really in trouble, and I had no way out. I prayed and I asked God to actually save me from this situation. There was a guy who was wanting to steal money from me. Actually, he was an extortionist, and he had a knife with him. And he had called me out, and I stupidly came to him obediently, and he says, give me your money. And I called out to God, and immediately God saved me. For some reason, he just said, ah, forget about it, and he moved away. Another time, I was on my friend's motorbike. He was giving me a lift, and we were right in the middle of a very, very crowded street and in KL, in Kuala Lumpur, and his bike slipped, and we rolled over, and there were cars that were coming this way, and they were going really fast. And I quickly shot up a prayer. It was like in the midst of the fire, so to speak. I call out, and all the cars which were going so fast, they were just a few feet away, somehow were able to stop. I wasn't a Christian, but I knew he was there. There he was. It's him again. And I bet you, if you really look at your own life, you will find these points in your life. It's him again. It's him again. It's him again. And these magi experienced that. Isn't that amazing? The magi. Do you think God, through all the germs and microcosms of things, could actually work through this part of nature and show himself? Or are germs and viruses all just part of that impersonal, random part of nature in which nobody really cares and that the universe really doesn't care about us? A few years ago, there was a man from Nigeria who came into our church, and he was suffering from malaria, and he had some very, very serious bouts of malaria, and he was really suffering terrible headaches. And then as he was suffering there in the bed, the Lord spoke to him to come to church and told him, come to church and somebody will pray for you. He came to church and he wasn't sure what was going to happen, but somewhere along the line, the Lord had given myself an impression that someone had some very, very severe headaches. I thought it was his headaches. He said, I got headaches. And when he came up, he said, I have malaria. And we prayed for him. I remember we as a church prayed for him. And he was completely healed there and then, instantly. And that God is a God who will seek you out, whether you know him or not. I believe today he wants to not just kind of sprinkle you with God, little God things, but he wants to draw you into relationship with him. That was what's happening with the Magi. He loves you and he calls you unto himself. You know, just a few minutes ago, I was speaking to someone and he said, "Hey, Michael, 6 weeks ago, the Lord gave a revelation to someone that there was someone with pain in the shoulder, and I came up. And the moment I started walking up, I was healed. It's been 6 years. Six weeks, sorry. I hope so, 6 years. 6 weeks since then. And I'm still fine." There was a woman, and I'd like to tell you about her. And some of you actually know her, know who she is. Her name is Bilquis Sheikh. She was a very well-known, very rich, aristocratic Pakistani lady who just recently died. Actually, I know her through my mom. But she wrote a book. It's called I Dare Call Him Father. Bilquis Sheikh was a Muslim. And it's amazing how God reveals himself to Muslims. It's amazing. Through dreams. She was seeking for God. She was reading the Quran. And the more she read the Quran, she was drawn to this person, Jesus. And she prayed earnestly to God, "Reveal yourself to me. Should I follow this Jesus?" And the more and more she prayed, the more and more she felt that, as the more she read the Bible, she felt the warmth of God drawing her. And after asking God what path she should take, he began to speak to her in dreams. And as he spoke to her in dreams, he spoke to her and gave her a dream. And in this dream, John the Baptist was calling her. She had never heard of John the Baptist. In fact, she writes in her book, he said, "What a strange name, John the Baptist." She didn't know that this John the Baptist was well known. And he was saying, "Follow Jesus. He will follow Jesus and call God Father." Now, as a Muslim, she would never do that. But she had a very good father. And her father manifested to her the love of God in many ways. And so she began in that dream to follow this Jesus. And then she got dream after dream after dream. And each dream drew her closer and closer to Jesus. She had just lost her husband. And she had, you know, come back to Pakistan from her houses in London and Paris. And so she was in Rawalpindi. And she began to pray to him. And as she began to pray to him and follow that dream, she began to feel closer and closer to God. I'm going to read a little bit of what she writes in a book. "I began to pray, 'Oh Father, my Father.' Hesitantly, I spoke his name aloud. I tried different ways of speaking to him. Then, as if something broke through for me, I found myself trusting that he was indeed hearing me, just as my earthly father had always done. 'Father, oh my Father God,' I cried, with growing confidence. My voice seemed unusually loud in the large bedroom as I knelt on the rug beside my bed. But suddenly, that room wasn't empty anymore. He was there. I could sense his presence. I could feel his hand laid gently on my head. It was as if I could see his eyes filled with love and compassion. He was so close that I found myself laying my head on his knees, like a little girl sitting at his father's feet. For a long time I knelt there, sobbing quietly, floating in his love, and I found myself talking with him, apologizing for not having known him before. And again Again, his loving compassion, like a warm blanket, was settling around me. She, in the end, became a missionary, left all her riches, became a missionary. Interestingly enough, she became a missionary in America. And God used her greatly. Her book sold about 300,000 copies within the first 20 years. God reveals himself. Yusuf Roni was an Indonesian Talib. You know the word Taliban is Talib for scholar, right? Scholar. An is plural. Yusuf Roni was the chairman of the Indonesian youth missionary organization. And he had been commissioned by the authorities to write a paper against the Bible. And he started reading the Bible. And as he read the Bible, he saw, as he read the Quran and read the Bible, that there was one Jesus who was very, very attractive to him. And God began to speak to him and give him dreams again. In each of these people, it would seem as if Jesus would come in a white robe and meet them. He became a Christian. They put him in jail for 5 years. And in his jail, he saw visions and dreams. And there were riots that happened in Jakarta because of him. But God revealed himself to him. And he became a mighty man of God. Many miracles took place in his meetings. I tell you that God is calling you to call upon him and he will answer you. Jeremiah 29 says, call unto me and I will answer you. I sense there are some of us are here. You're not sure where you stand with God. You may be a Christian and you're not a non-Christian. But somehow in God, there is a call and you can sense it. This call has been going on for a long time. The only thing that is going to make sense in your life and my life is this one who has saved you perhaps from sickness, who has spoken to you in dreams, who has given you inklings, given you providential miracles and deliverances, put in you a God-shaped vacuum. Amazing, isn't it? There was another group of people who were far away from God as well, and these were shepherds. You can see this in Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 8, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born to you, just like the star was moving with respect to them, the angel said to these shepherds, born to you. Imagine that. Not an impersonal sky that doesn't care about you, but is born to you. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, these shepherds were not actually shepherds in the sense that we normally sense. If they were out in the fields and light, they were what we would call hirelings. They were the bottom of the pile. They were not the ones who owned the sheep. They were the ones who were hired to take care of the sheep. So they had to take care of the sheep at night, and so they had to be awake at night. These were people who had very, very bad reputations. They were considered unclean. They were not allowed to go into the temple. They were considered scoundrels. Many of those who became these so-called shepherds, these hirelings, were people who were considered thieves. They were criminals who couldn't find another job. And so they were these ones. These are the ones who were the offscouring. They were the dregs of society. And the amazing thing is this. Outside of the Commonwealth of Israel, outside of the temple life, outside of all the religious, spiritual life, there were these shepherds out there in the field. They were stuck. There's no way they could. They had a life that was going nowhere. You know what I mean? A life that's not going anywhere. They were nobody and they were going nowhere. And the Lord came to them and spoke to them. and reveal himself to them. You know, it's funny how God, when he wants to show himself real, he shows himself real to witnesses who have no reputation, no credibility. When Jesus rose from the dead, he showed himself to the women whose word was not allowed in court. Right? He showed himself to those who are what we would call non-Christians. He showed himself to shepherds who are considered nothing. And I wonder whether there are some of us who feel, I am going nowhere. I am no one. I'm persona non grata as far as God is concerned. There are some of us who've found that there's been a bug that's drilled so deeply into their lives that you can't get out of this hole. You're never going to be accepted by God. You're never going to have a life that means anything, that has any purpose at all. You're going nowhere. And I want to put it to you that this Christmas, God has come to you too. And the shepherds, having nothing in life to look forward to, took the only thing that came to him, to them. The angels came, sang the amazing praises to God, and they grabbed it and they said, let us go now. Let us go to Bethlehem. And guess what? I don't know how they found that place in Bethlehem. They went and they found it. And they rejoiced and told the family, what we call the whole holy family, about how they received revelation. Isn't that amazing that God can actually do that? God can speak to you, and he can speak to you in even the darkness of stuckness. I just want to give an opportunity for any one of you who feel that you're stuck, that you don't deserve, you're not a candidate for God's blessing, to respond to him today. It's not as if something new is taking place. He has been calling you. I feel that there are some who are here, it's taken a big step for you to come to church. Church to you is a place that has been a place in which perhaps not really good experiences have taken place. And yet God's calling you. And he's calling you back. Amen? I remember many people in our church who were like the shepherds. People who were incarcerated. I remember one person who's not with us now. But when he came to our church, most of his life was over. But he responded to God. And God changed him. And he took him out of his state. And today he's a pastor in North Carolina. Isn't that amazing? God can do that. He can do that in your life and my life. I'm not telling you anything new. You know this. You've experienced it because God has been reaching out to you before. But perhaps today, you hear the call, come home. And you're going to find a certain amount of familiarity if you respond to Jesus. It won't be alien. It's like home. And there was one more person who heard the gospel. Going back to Matthew chapter 2. And his name was Herod. Oh, Herod. Also a person who heard the voice of God, just like the Magi and the shepherds. It says in verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And he went on a massacre because he didn't want anybody to be king besides him. There's one category of people that may be here. And they're like Herod. They've heard God's call. But they want to be left alone. They want to be left alone. And Herod's basically saying, leave me alone. I don't want any part of it because I want my autonomy. It says that all Jerusalem was troubled as well. Many scholars, Jim Sanders, E.P. Sanders, say that during the time, Jerusalem was filled with basically the Sanhedrin, the temple personnel, the officials that were part of the Temple Mount. And they had a nice little system going in which God didn't need to be around. It's funny how the people in authority were the ones who want to be left alone. And sometimes, as C.S. Lewis says, our sin is just that we just want to be left alone. Leave me alone. I don't want nothing. I don't want anything to do with you. And you can choose that. But there are others who I perhaps am speaking to. And you're saying, the hopes and fears that I've had, they can only be met in you, Jesus. And I want to come home. Let us pray. I want to invite the worship team to come up. If God's been speaking to you, I bet you he had not been speaking to you only today. But he's been speaking to you for a while. He's been calling you. Some of you are Christians, and you know what it is to live around the religion, but God's calling you into a life in which you can experience his power in your life. The day has come for you to no longer live in the outskirts. Because living on the outskirts of God's presence is such that you don't really experience the benefit, the meaning and the purpose for which you have been created by your Father. But God's calling you. You may be a Christian, you may be a non-Christian. As all eyes are closed, all heads are bowed, I want to invite you to respond to God in a very simple way. If you're saying, Jesus, can you change my life? I want to receive you into my life. Can you obliterate my past and all the bondages that I carry, the baggage, the entanglements? Can you set me free? When Jesus died on the cross, he carried upon himself your bondage and my bondage, your guilt and mine. He came for you. The celebration of Christmas is the celebration of the fact that God did not leave us to our own devices, and that the universe is not impervious and indifferent to you. But it moved. The star moved. It moved for you. And there was motion and emotion when the star moved. Perhaps you've been 700 miles away from God. And you feel so far away, you feel that in this 700 miles away, there's no way you can make your way home again. But God's been calling you. Perhaps you are here today because of that. Perhaps today is just one link, one more step, one more call in which God's been calling you. And you look at your life and you say, Lord, what does this all mean? And I want to invite you to dare to call him Father. As all eyes closed, all heads bowed, if anybody feels that God's been speaking to them and you want to give your life to Jesus, would you please put your hand up and then put it down again? Anybody? Yes, I see your hands. Yes, anyone? You say, I want to come back to God. I know he's there. There's a certain familiarity about it. But I want to come back to him. Just put your hand up and then you can quickly put it down again. Anyone else? Yes, I see that. Anyone else? You say, yes, I do want to come back to God. I do believe that I'm not totally alien from him. That actually, he's my father. I never knew him. But I want to come back to him. I just need to make sense of my life. Anyone else? You say, yes, I want to come back to God. You may be a Christian, you may be a non-Christian. Doesn't matter. He didn't need you to be a Christian to speak to you. But he wants more for you. Anyone else? You can put your hand up and then you can quickly put it down if God's been speaking to you. Anyone? And you're saying that, yes, I want a deeper walk with God. I want a deeper fellowship with God. I don't see how I can change. I can tell you that by Jesus' death on the cross, He broke every power of sin. He broke every power of the devil, every power of determinism, every chain, every power of addiction. He took it upon Himself and called it upon Himself so that you don't have to carry it. Today, a miracle can happen in your life. If you're looking for something to set you free, Jesus can do that. And we want to give a chance for anyone who needs prayer to have prayer as well. You've seen miracles taking place again and again and again. It can happen for you. You can say, the star moved. Anyone else? Anybody who wants to say, yes, I want to give my life to Him anymore. Put your hand up and then you can put it down. Anyone else? Yes. Anyone else? Anybody else? We're going to worship the Lord. I want to invite you to just stand to your feet together with the worship team. Just lift your hands up. Open your hands up to God. He's here.
When you speak, darkness has to bow. Confusion has its final hour. When you speak, mountains rise and fall. It tears down every wall around me. When you speak, you breathe upon the dust. You come alive in us. When you speak, you silence every fear. Your spirit here around us. Let there be light.
Let there be light.
Till it fills up every space.
Come and have your way.
Let there be light. Let there be light. Just one word and I am changed. Come and have your way.
Thank you for your love for us. Thank you, you have been calling us even before we knew you. We bless your name. Now I'm going to pray a prayer for anyone who wants to give his life to Jesus. In many ways, He has already been surrounding you. In many ways, His love has been a reality for you. But you are saying today, I want more. I want Jesus to be the center of my life. I want Him to be the power in my life, the strength, the glory of my life. There are some who are saying, I can't get out of this stuckness. Only you can save me. And you can just lift up your hands like a child to the Father, and a miracle will take place today. So I'm going to pray this prayer. If this is a prayer of your heart, I want to invite you to just repeat it after me, quietly in your heart. Lord Jesus, I need you. I thank you that you have been drawing me to yourself, that you're not silent to me, that I need you more than ever before. Come and take over my life. I have no righteousness. in myself, but you have to be everything to me. So I give my life to you. Cleanse me and make me new. In Jesus' name, amen.